97.5 The Fanatic.
This is your home for Philadelphia Flyers hockey.
This is Fanatic Flyers Weekly, only on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome to another episode of Fanatic Flyers Weekly. We are broadcasting live from the inner workings of the Wells Fargo Center. Joe Torti here with you, joining you until 7 o'clock. Flyers pregame action coming your way, and then the game against the Anaheim Ducks right here on 97.5. The Fanatic, glad to be joined now by Bundy. Chris Therrien joining us for the opening segment. Bundy, how you doing?
Good, doing well, Joe.
Doing great. Glad to hear that. So the big game tonight against the Ducks kind of takes a little bit of a less importance considering what else has kind of been going on with the club and the big news with the Flyers, Oscar Lindblom getting the news, the cancer diagnosis, and obviously that's been something that shocked not just the Philadelphia world, but the sports world up to this point. And how difficult is it when you got a distraction like that, of that magnitude, where all of your thoughts are with him and his family, and we're obviously wishing him the best, but also there's a lot of work to be done still on the ice.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, you know, the best to Oscar and his entire family and the Flyers players. I mean, it's been a very, very a very trying weekend for the team. Three road games. They lost all three in regulation, but none more difficult than the two that they had to deal with over the weekend. That being said, this is still a team that had a very, very good start to the season, and they need to, although there's some stuff going on here in the building tonight, they're doing a great tribute to Oscar. I think also on the players' minds tonight will be finding a way to get 2 points. That's, if you want to honor Oscar in any way tonight, keep your team up in the standings. He'll certainly be one guy out there rooting for his team tonight. But it is it's not an ordinary night here. That being said, the Flyers are going to have to find a way to get into this hockey game early, right off the puck drop past 7 o'clock.
You ever have any kind of experience with anything even close to this? Not obviously the same magnitude, but dealing with issues like this that have popped up over the course of your career?
Well, I played, it's not never positive to talk about it, but I played with Dmitry Turchynny. A rookie who died in a boating accident on a Flyers trip that summer. And, that was, I think that was a little bit different in a sense, because we had Tree here, Dmitry, on our team that year, and he was a great young kid. We didn't get to know him as well because of the language barrier. He was Russian. He'd come over here. He did a great job. So, I think with Oscar, it's a little different that he was here. He's been here a little 2 years plus. He's gotten to integrate himself within the team. It's an in-season diagnosis, would certainly change it because everybody's around. But I absolutely have gone through this, and I went through it as well with Yannick Dupre. I played with Dupe my first year in the NHL and in the American League. And he lost his battle to leukemia, which now the Flyers award is the Yannick Dupre Award for class guy at the end of the year is made available to a current Flyer. So I've gone through it. It's difficult. And you have to be able to honor Oscar, but at the same time, make sure you're playing hard for your team.
I mean, you talked about refocusing and realizing that, a great way to honor Oscar would be to get 2 points. You also talked about the hot start that the Flyers got off to, and it's been a little bit cooler since then. As far as you're concerned watching, what's kind of been the difference?
Well, injuries.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, listen, I just don't think that in this league now, if you go through the league and the standings, there's a lot of teams that go on roller coasters. You go win a pile in a row and then lose a pile in a row, and it seems like that's kind of a trend. I've seen that now for three or four years. Nobody's going to sustain the level of excellence the Flyers had sustained for some time. That said, though, when you do hit kind of a low point, you've got to be able to manufacture and to stay with the pack, and somehow it's amazing. When you have a lead in the standings, it's a lot harder to lose it, as the Flyers have. I mean, you had a couple teams creep up for them from the bottom, but they pretty much leveled where they are. They've fallen out of the favor and a little bit in the metro in terms of where they were at the points, but they're still in the top eight. They still have a comfortable lead there, and I think that's where they have to maintain it. So my point is that when you're not doing as well, you still have to find a way to keep your head above water and not totally sink.
Not all bad news, obviously, on the injury front. Travis Konecny returning to the lineup tonight, and we've seen the kind of spark that he can provide and the speed and the skill that he has. What kind of impact do you anticipate him having in his first action back from his injury?
They'll be happy to have him back. In terms of what he can bring, I don't know. I mean, you know, he just got cleared today. I did see him skating in Voorhees this past weekend, Saturday. He looked like he had a pretty good motor going. That was before the Flyers had played both games. Of course, he was still here. The team's out, you know, halfway across the country. I think he'll be energized tonight. Certainly, you know, back home with what the crowd will bring for Oscar tonight. And I know TK, the kind of player he is, bringing energy is going to be certainly a key in this game tonight. And I expect him to come out and do a great job on that top line.
28 points leads the Flyers. And on the three-game road trip without him, they were outscored 14-5. And now, obviously, the Flyers have a lot of different new faces in the lineup. And I'm sure that you've been in those situations as well. What kind of challenges does that present to a team as you're trying to get to know everybody on the fly, kind of?
Well, I will say this. The one thing with this hockey team tonight, and again, it's still not a healthy lineup. There's still some injuries. They're still going through stuff. This is a game tonight where you need your big boys to step up. You need Claude Giroux. You need Voracek, Van Riemsdyk, Konechny, Couturier. They have got to be your best players in a game like this. They needed to be the best players on the weekend. It just didn't happen. But this is a night tonight where if you're expecting your depth lines to get you the win tonight, you're probably expecting too much. So they really have to step up.
Looking at an Anaheim Ducks team that has all kinds of experience considering the core that they have, but this year's version has gotten a little bit of a slow start out of the gates. What do you make of the Ducks?
Actually, good start out of the gates for a little bit, and then they've gone downhill after about the first month. But this is a team last year that literally could not win a hockey game. Before they finally put Randy Carlyle out of his misery, he'd been there forever. I think they had one win or something in 20-some games at one point. And so they made the coaching change. They're still led by Ryan Getzlaf, and they will pose one problem for the Flyers tonight. They are a big, heavy hockey team. So if you're the Flyers tonight, you almost have to treat this like a road style. Do not try to put a show on against Anaheim. You'll be feeding into exactly what they do and how they play. If the Flyers play a north-south game tonight, get pucks in deep. I know it's an old adage and cliche. That will better suit them than trying to play tic-tac-toe through the neutral zone, because that will not work against a big kind of dump-and-chase team like Anaheim that has a very good top line.
We'll be keeping an eye out for that, and Bundy will be keeping an eye out for you on TV. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you down the road here in a little while.
You got it. Appreciate being on. Thanks.
All righty. We'll be right back with more. It is Flyers Weekly right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to Fanatic Flyers Weekly, broadcasting live from the Wells Fargo Center ahead of the Flyers game against the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Puck dropping at 7 o'clock. Glad to be joined now by Bill Meltzer. Bill, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, Joe. Yourself?
I'm hanging in there, trying the best that we can. You heard us talking to Bundy a little bit about a lot of different stuff going on tonight, obviously with Oscar Lindblom and the news coming out and everything. What's the mood and reception kind of been around the team for the news and then obviously what's going on tonight?
Yeah, very emotional day today, in a good way. Everybody's very excited to see Oscar today. Oscar, I know, was very happy to see the guys. You know, Oscar has a very tough fight ahead of him. I think that he knows that everybody's in his corner here, not just on the Flyers, but throughout the hockey world and just everywhere. You know, it's going to be, as Bundy said, it's not going to be a typical night here. You know, they're doing a lot of special things for Oscar on an ongoing basis, but tonight being the first night back since all that, you know, the team has to focus on the hockey game, which can be a hard thing to do. But it can also be something they rally around. You know, it's hard to go through much more adversity than this team is going through right now. You know, as Chuck Fletcher said, what's going on with Oscar is on a different level than hockey adversity, than wins and losses. But, I mean, you know, the team is riddled with injuries. Joel Farabee's serving the first game of his suspension. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of adversity to work through right now. And, you know, unfortunately, when you go out and play, no one's going to feel sorry for you. You got to go out and take care of business on the ice.
Yeah, there have been a ton of teams, obviously, that have been crippled with injuries, but it feels like the Flyers have been unluckier than most, especially considering who has been injured. Yeah. And as a result, Bill, there's a lot of different names in the lineup and guys who haven't had a ton of NHL time. What do you anticipate the roles are going to be from maybe the Phantoms call-ups tonight?
Well, most of the guys that they called from the Phantoms are playing in the lower end of the lineup. Travis Konecny coming back tonight is obviously huge for the team. Then you can have a normal top line with Couturier and Giroux and Konecny. Kevin Hayes can play with JVR, and they can move Voracek to play with Morgan Frost. And, you know, Morgan is a guy I think he needs to get, a little confidence going here, too, because I think his confidence has been a little bit down lately. So, you know, I think being able to dress three lines will be a big thing for the team. David Kasha and Mikhail Vorobyev will be in the fourth line. But those are important minutes, too. I mean, particularly when you're playing as short as they have been. Those are the 6, 7, 8 minutes set up the table for the other lines to come out, don't get scored on, and hopefully push the play into the offensive zone so those guys can start in the offensive zone.
Speaking of offensive zone starts, one of the things we were talking about during the break is the power play. It's kind of been really a struggle for the Flyers most of the year, but finally getting one against Winnipeg. What have the struggles kind of been? What have the keys to that been as far as you've been watching?
It's been, you could break some of it down technically. You got to get possession right off that initial faceoff in the offensive zone. Even when the Flyers have been winning those, they haven't been keeping possession. So then the puck gets cleared. You got to come back all the way up the ice, getting entries in the offensive zone. If you watch the Matt Niskanen goal last game, the Flyers actually did get a clean entry, and they got a scoring chance and a rebound goal out of it. They have both units have struggled generating entries. Getting traffic to the net and screens and deflections, those kind of things, those haven't been there. Getting shots through that aren't blocked, and just generally getting set up and getting puck movement. The first month of the season, Flyers were, I think, 23%+ at the end of October. Even when the Flyers had the best record in the NHL in November, though, the power play started to go south on them a little bit. They were somewhere around 16% for November, and then they went 0 for December. Until the goal the other night. Hopefully that's something they can build off of. Anaheim does not have a very good penalty kill. They are a good 5-on-5 team overall, so that's something where the Flyers get a power play goal or two, you make things a lot easier for yourself.
When it does come to those special teams, it's so interesting to watch how often you have to figure out whether struggles are execution-based or getting figured out-based. As far as you're concerned, are there adjustments that need to be made to what they're doing from a scheme perspective on the power play? Or is it more of, one, you're crippled by injuries, and two, the execution just hasn't really been there?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Claude Giroux in the left half wall. Mm-hmm. He'd been moved to the right in the second half of last year, early this season. Really, for about the last 10 games or so, he's been back on his comfortable side. For a little while, they had Morgan Frost as the slot shooter. That's a role he's never played before, first-year pro, but he'd actually always been in Giroux's role. He'd always been the guy distributing the puck from the boards. So he's in the second unit now, and they moved him elsewhere on the ice, a little bit more of a comfortable role. So I think guys are stationed, a little bit more where they're comfortable. And really, again, the rest of it, though, is very much execution. You got to get shots through when you have an open shot, and you got to get those rebounds and deflections. That's how you score in this league.
You touched on Travis Konechny's return as well. I mentioned their offensive struggles without him. What kind of things does he bring to the table that you've seen them missing in the last 3 days? Games, I should say.
Right. And, of course, Oscar as well, because
No question.
Yeah, they're both at 11 goals. So you lose the two guys that are your goal-scoring leaders, you're going to feel it. Specific to Travis, they miss his speed. They miss his motor and energy. He's a guy who can get under other teams' skin. And he's a guy who can sometimes kind of score a goal out of nowhere. There's not a lot of snipers on this team. They score mostly hardworking, greasy goals, and Travis scores a share of those too. But Travis is a guy, you get him in the slot, you get him even high in the circle with an open look. He can pot one. And that's something that the team has clearly missed. But having him back, just the energy that he brings. And, I think he's made strides in his overall game this year, too. Not just the goals. He's a better hockey player than he was this time a year ago.
Well, the W word is a tough word to use, and I don't want to imply that Morgan Frost has hit a rookie wall or anything like that, but after seeing the success that he had early on and the struggles that are not uncharacteristic of a young player, where's his game right now as far as you're concerned?
Well, with Morgan, you know, when he has his feet moving and playing with pace, he's one of the quickest guys on the ice. Sometimes he falls back in what you would call a junior-style game, because when Morgan played for the Sioux Greyhounds in the Ontario League, and he could get away with it there, he had a tendency to slow the play down, kind of stop moving, survey his options, make a decision. Can't do that in the NHL, particularly when you're his size. You'll just get taken off the puck, you know?
Sure.
Morgan needs to win some more puck battles and just get back to what he was doing, using his speed effectively, you know, getting to the scoring areas and making, you know, making safer, smarter decisions. And that sets up, you know, that sets up some chances like he's had. But I think that, you know, points-wise, he's capable of more than the 5 points he has. That's the one thing you don't worry about him with. He could easily have 8, 9, 10 points right now. He's been a little unlucky in that area. But it's more in terms of the overall game and in continuing to adapt from junior-style hockey to pro-style hockey.
Speaking with Bill Meltzer on the Fanatic Flyers weekly program, turning the other page and looking across the ice, we've got the Anaheim Ducks. You mentioned a good 5-on-5 team, but the season clearly hasn't gone the way that they hoped, certainly in the last stretch here. What do they do well that presents challenges for Philadelphia tonight?
Yeah, Buddy touched on some of it. It's a big, heavy team. You know, the Flyers lineup is actually a little bigger than it was a year ago. They have Andy Andreoff up tonight, and, you know, talk about some of the fourth line guys. But, I mean, really it just comes with playing a smart and, you know, intelligent hockey game against them, taking care of the puck. Anaheim is a team that struggles to score, but they are in the top half of the league, near the top third of the league in terms of goals against average. So they're, you know, they want to keep the score down against you, and then be opportunistic off of turnovers and whatnot. You know, statistically, John Gibson's, you know, his one loss record isn't good, but he's a quality goaltender. He makes you work, you know, work for the goals that you get against them, and just don't, you know, just don't fall into that trap where you're playing into his hands. You know, I think the Flyers sometimes, you know, they look for that perfect shot. There's that extra pass sometimes. Honestly, I mean, sometimes simpler is better.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And the Flyers, like you said, the dirty goals they've scored, it hasn't always been trying to find the perfect shot. We also touched on it when we were talking during the break, that there's a little bit of a Kasha brothers reunion here tonight. Andre Kasha on the other side for Anaheim, and obviously David Kasha here. And there's the parents, both parents here tonight.
That's right. Their parents flew over from the Czech Republic. David's playing his third NHL game, first one in Philly. You know, Andre plays for the Ducks, so this is a perfect opportunity for them to come over and see both of their boys play. David is, I don't know Andre at all, but David is a tremendous young man. You know, he's thrilled to be here. You know, he's a guy, we talk about a guy with a motor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a guy who plays with a ton of energy, really good speed, you know, always working hard, has a little bit of feistiness to him. He's a smaller guy. Not necessarily a goal scorer, but that's a guy who you can, you know, put out for 6-7 minutes and he'll play with a lot of energy. And with his folks in the building tonight and, you know, playing against his brother, I mean, that's a dream come true for him and for his brother, I'm sure.
I always wonder what the jersey etiquette of that is. Is it 1-1? Do you do the half jersey for both?
I've seen
how
those,
does it work? I haven't figured out what the good solution is, because if it's 1-1, oftentimes you see people saying, oh, it's obvious who's mom's favorite,
right?
You know, so you gotta work that out. Flyers playing the Ducks tonight. As far as you're concerned, Bill, watching this team, 39 points. They're behind Pittsburgh, Carolina, New York, and Washington. Washington off to a really good pace in the Metro as well. Lots of season left, but what needs to be turned around in the Flyers' game, outside of health, obviously, that would help out a ton, that would let them catch up a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, here we were a week ago when the Flyers were ahead of both Carolina and Pittsburgh. They just keep winning. Crosby's about to come back to the Penguins. You can't really worry about what other teams are doing. It's not that time of year yet where you're scoreboard watching. Mm-hmm. You take care of your own business and, you know, and things fall into place. I mean, honestly, things that the Flyers had been doing well, they'd been generally scoring first in games. That gives you statistically over a 70% chance of winning. They did score first in that Minnesota game. That's the only thing that went right in that game.
Yeah.
You know, playing a good 200-foot game, taking care of the puck, clearing the zone when you have opportunities to do so, and you need the saves, too. I mean, the Flyers' goaltending, I actually thought the goaltending was not an issue on the road trip. But, I mean, you know, one of the biggest strengths of the team during that November run was the goalies were making the, you know, all the routine saves and quite a few of the tough ones, too. They're going to need to keep doing that.
You mentioned the Joel Farabee suspension, serving the first game of that tonight. And then other than that, it's a laundry list of injuries. Any updates on anybody nearing the return to the lineup?
Yeah, there was a little bit of good news today on Tyler Pitlick. They initially called it a concussion. Now they think it might have just been a sinus issue.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's possible that he could play on Thursday. The other guys will probably be back after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
No change with Nolan Patrick. Same situation.
Strange situation. Obviously hoping for the best for Nolan there as well. Last thing before we let you go, Bill. Keys to the game tonight for Philadelphia against Anaheim. What do they have to do in order to be successful against the Ducks?
Play from ahead. Being the biggest thing. You make life so much easier on yourself. Flyers have been a very good second period team. Not as good in first periods. Put yourself in position to succeed that way. I touched on some of it before. You say that every game take care of the puck. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Anaheim is a team that generates a ton of chances. Getzlaff is still a great playmaker. But, you know, they're not a team that generally will create a lot of chances. Be aware of their defensemen because they will bring some of the D up, you know, on the play. And other than that, you know, get back to playing the way they had. I mean, Flyers have only lost twice in regulation at home. They've been a good home team. So, you know, continue those things.
Well, Bill, really appreciate the time tonight. It's been a blast talking to you. Hopefully we get to do this again soon.
Anytime, Joe.
All righty. There he is, Bill Meltzer, joining us. I'm Joe Torti. We'll be right back after this. It is Fanatic Flyers Weekly. Flyers taking on the Ducks. We'll bring you the action right here on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back to Fanatic Flyers Weekly, broadcasting live from the Wells Fargo Center ahead of Flyers Ducks tonight at 7 o'clock. Joe Torti here with you. Flyers swept the season series against the Ducks last year. They won 3 out of 4 against Anaheim. Carter Hart won his only start against the Ducks, while John Gibson, who's the Ducks goaltender, has not lost in regulation to the Flyers in his career, going 4-0-1 with a .239 goals against average and a .930 save percentage. The Metropolitan Division, by the way, is, through a statistical quirk, the only division that they have a winning record against in terms of the Anaheim Ducks. They're 4-3 this season against the Metropolitan Division, so something to consider. They're familiar with the teams in the division that the Flyers have been playing in. We talked about the return of Travis Konecny and how important that is, and obviously it's going to be an emotional roller coaster ride tonight for the Flyers, with Oscar Lindblom being diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma and the news coming out over the weekend. This is the first home game since that news, and obviously lots of stuff, tons of festivities and everything going on here at the Wells Fargo Center tonight in the home return, so to speak. Lindblom is here. Lots of events going on here. At least his mom's here as well. Some other family may be in the area if they've traveled over across the pond. But so much that you have to kind of work through if you're the Flyers, balancing how that is definitely a larger story than anything that's going on hockey-wise, and your thoughts, wishes, best prayers, and everything else to the Lindblom family and his hockey family as well. But understanding that there's also business that needs to be taken care of here tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. Flyers home cooking certainly going to be a contributing factor for them, they hope. They've won 4 out of their last 5 games, and in the Eastern Conference has 3 of the 4 teams, including the Flyers, that have 2 or fewer losses on home ice. So it's pretty interesting to see how much better the Flyers have been on home ice relative to on the road, and they're certainly looking forward to getting back here. They'll have a 2-game homestand here. They take on Buffalo on Thursday before they hit the road for Ottawa on the 21st, which is Saturday. The Buffalo game you can hear right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, and the Flyers-Senators game on Saturday will be on 93.3 WMMR. Flyers currently in fifth place in the Metropolitan Division with 33 games played. That's two games in hand on Washington, who's in first place. The second place Islanders have two games in hand on Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. 39 points there, 17-11-5 right behind the Pittsburgh Penguins at 19-10-4. And as Bill was saying, it's still a little bit too early to be worried about scoreboard watching and standings watching when there are things to correct in your own game. And certainly the injury factor has been a big-time issue when it comes to the Flyers and being able to generate the kind of results that they are used to generating, and certainly the results that they generated early on in the regular season. The lineup tonight: Myers, Sanheim, Hag, Provorov, Andreev, Konechny, Hayes, Couturier, Niskanen, and Pitlick is listed as in the lineup. But interesting to hear that, considering the fact that we were just talking about the fact that his what was previously thought to be a concussion might indeed be a sinus issue. Be fascinating to see if he's actually in the lineup tonight. He's certainly on the media information card here. Vorobiev, Van Riemsdyk, Giroux, Elliott, Stewart, Frost, Gostisbehere, Braun, Obey, Kubel, Kasha, Hart, and Voracek, the lineup for the Philadelphia Flyers. Hart will get the start in net, and Brian Elliott currently slated to provide relief if necessary against the Anaheim Ducks. We talked about John Gibson and how good he has been over the course of his career. Has been hamstrung a little bit by the fact that over the course of the last 2.5 seasons or so, the Ducks have not provided the kind of goal support necessary for Gibson to have a good win-loss record relative to the rest of the elite goalies in the NHL. However, you look at what he's done against Philadelphia, and certainly he and that Ducks defense provide a significant threat in terms of the results that they've gotten against Philadelphia to date at this point. Chris Stewart, I mentioned in the lineup, and Bill was alluding to Chris as one of the guys who potentially could match some of that physicality, being a heavy team, the Anaheim Ducks. They've got size and they've got some strength as well. And with Ryan Getzlaff involved, you always know that there's a significant element of skill incorporated there as well. Tonight in the NHL, it's a full slate of games. You've got Los Angeles taking on Boston on the road at 7 o'clock. Buffalo visits Toronto at 7. Tampa Bay hosts Ottawa at 7 o'clock. Islanders hosting Nashville. Columbus takes on Detroit on the road at 7:30. Carolina at Winnipeg at 8 o'clock. Big game tonight at Calgary. Pittsburgh taking on the Flames at 9. Montreal at Vancouver at 10 o'clock. Minnesota at Vegas. Arizona at San Jose. Late starts as well. So a full slate of games coming to the NHL schedule here tonight. And obviously the big one here in Philadelphia, Flyers taking on the Anaheim Ducks. Claude Giroux will be asked to do a whole lot of the heavy lifting if we were looking at the lineup and who's available, what percentage of the scoring has gone out. You look at the weekend, obviously not having Lindblom and Konechny, 11 goals apiece, significant chunks of the goal scoring not available for the Flyers. And hopefully for Philly, they'll be able to get back into the good swing of things and refine their mojo, unlike what has been happening as of late. Meanwhile, it's not like Anaheim's been world beaters either. 4-6-2 in their last 12, so not anything to write home about. Flyers, or the Ducks rather, are 2-1-0 in their last three. Ryan Getzlaff has 13 points for the Ducks, 3 goals and 10 assists in his last 13 games. He's got 17 points, 4 goals and 13 assists in an 11-game point streak against Philadelphia. So Getzlaff has been one of the Flyer killers on the Anaheim side. James Van Riemsdyk starting to heat up, though, for Philly. 3 goals and 3 assists in his last 6 games. So those are the players to watch in terms of the matchups tonight and who could potentially be wearing the cape for both of these teams. We mentioned the Ducks haven't exactly had a season to write home about. They are currently second to last in the Pacific Division. They're just a point ahead of the Los Angeles Kings at 14-15-4. The Kings at 14-18-3. And the Ducks with just 12 regulation or overtime wins. Not many teams below that in the rest of the league. Just Detroit and New Jersey as the teams that have fewer than the Ducks' 12 wins in regulation. or overtime. Final things to lay out there, the injuries for the Flyers getting pretty significant. The scratch, Philip Myers. Nolan Patrick still dealing with those migraines, will not be available tonight. Michael Roffel with the finger injury. Scott Laughton with the groin. We'll see if Tyler Pitlick is able to make his way into the lineup tonight. And obviously Oscar Lindblom not available due to Ewing sarcoma. Suspended for this game, Joel Farabee. Didn't get a chance to talk to Bundy about the suspension, but it would be interesting to hear what the thoughts are around Farabee's suspension and everything that kind of led up to that and the decision-making process for the league. We mentioned some of the Ducks players as well. The Ducks didn't hold a morning skate today. Larson and Carrick, two AHL call-ups, were recalled from San Diego on Monday. And it is the first time in a cool little twist of fate here that Andre and David Kasha will play against each other for the first time in the NHL. So fascinating stuff there. And a last note on Oscar Lindblom, who was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma, which is a form of bone cancer, on Friday. He's expected to be evaluated by specialists at the University of Pennsylvania this week to determine a course of treatment. Obviously not expected to play again this season. And our thoughts and minds and everything else, our hearts are certainly with Oscar Lindblom and his family, and wishing him a speedy and complete recovery. The entire hockey world, the entire sports world, and all of Philadelphia certainly with the Lindbloms at this time. But, of course, as the Flyers must do, so must we turn our attention to the task at hand, which is the Philadelphia Flyers taking on the Anaheim Ducks tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. Pre-game coverage is coming your way in a matter of moments. Thank you very much to Betsy Deming, our on-site producer and engineer, and Josh Rabick back in the studio taking care of us and getting us on the airwaves. Thank you very much to Chris Therrien and Bill Meltzer for joining us here on Fanatic Flyers Weekly. This is Joe Torte saying so long. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you next time from the Wells Fargo Center. Enjoy Flyers and Ducks. Pre-game coverage is coming your way next with Brian Smith, Tim Saunders, and Steve Coates will be on the call after that. Have a great night. Enjoy Flyers hockey, and I'll talk to you next time on Fanatic Flyers Weekly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.